For example, between about 750 and 900, way off in Persia, Christians translated a great portion of Aristotle, as well as many of the ancient commentaries on Aristotle, into Arabic. And these then began to circulate in the Islamic world. This led to a number of brilliant thinkers in the Islamic world, such as, for instance, let's just have a few examples, Ibn Sina, lived from 980 until 1037, familiarly called Avicenna in the West. Avicenna turned himself to old questions about the relationships between things that actually exist in the world and things that exist only in the mind. These were the old and great Platonic questions of antiquity, but also, of course, the great Aristotelian questions. Ibn Rushd, 1126 to 1198, called Averroes in the West, tried to understand the kinds of truths that could be acquired by human reason and those that depended upon divine revelation. The point, quite simply, is that for Islamic thinkers, as indeed for Jewish thinkers, as indeed for Christian thinkers, Aristotle posed a bit of a problem. Knowledge was a good thing. Good things come by the grace of God. Aristotle knew a great deal, but Aristotle was a pagan. So is it possible to know many things without necessarily having to depend upon divine reason? And how does one draw distinctions between what one knows by reason and what one knows by divine revelation? Now, Averroes, for example, wrote more than 38 commentaries on Aristotle's writings. Some of these were translated into Latin in Spain and then began to circulate very widely in Northern Europe. Now, there were also Jewish scholars who were asking fundamental questions along very much the same lines. Solomon ibn Gebirol, for example, 1021 to 1070, called Avicebron in the West, also set himself the task of trying to find ways to reconcile Aristotle with the Jewish faith. Moses ben Maimon, 1135 to 1204, called Maimonides, rather like Averroes, tried to find ways to reconcile the competing claims of faith and of reason. Another Jewish scholar, Solomon ben Isaac, 1040 to 1105, called Rashi in the West, was one of the greatest Talmudic scholars of all time. Now, the Talmud is a commentary on the scriptural studies of the ancient rabbis who themselves commented on the Hebrew scriptures. There were two great versions of the Talmud that circulated, one prepared in Babylon, one prepared in Palestine. And these were and are very important sources of learning and of spiritual inspiration in the Jewish world. Well, Rashi and then his sons taught in the city of Troyes in France. And sometimes they were consulted by Christian scholars who were interested in understanding certain very complex points in the Hebrew scriptures or in the Old Testament, as Christian scholars referred to the Hebrew scriptures. So the first point then is to see this enormous array of cultural contacts, unthinkable in the earlier Middle Ages, and now not only thinkable, but omnipresent in the world of the High Middle Ages. Now, a first great change in Western intellectual life in the High Middle Ages, in the scholastic world, has to do with the elevation of logic to paramount status among the intellectual disciplines. You'll recall, perhaps, that in the Carolingian period, grammar, the teaching of basic Latin, was the key discipline. We're going to see later that in the Renaissance, we'll move to rhetoric. But now, logic has its day. Why? Why did people begin to focus particularly on the study of and the application of logic? Well, some writers began to use logic quite effectively, quite successfully, to deal with, to understand certain controverted issues. Let's give just a couple of examples. Lanfranc, for example, an Italian who eventually migrated to the north, became Archbishop of Canterbury, born in 1010, died in 1089, began by using patristic authorities and biblical statements and then gradually turned to the use of dialectic, to the use of logic, to rebut the teachings of a man by the name of Berengar. Now, Berengar had challenged the then reigning doctrine in the church that the Eucharist, the communion, was truly the body and blood of Christ, the doctrine of the real presence, as the Catholic Church speaks of it. Berengar said, no, this is really just symbolic. Now, in the past, before Lanfranc, what one would have done is quoted papal letters to such a person. One would have quoted church council decrees to such a person. One would have quoted the writings of a church father to such a person. One would have quoted passages of scripture to such a person. One would have heaped up authorities. Lanfranc changed and rebutted Berengar by the use of extremely precisely wrought dialectical reasoning. Anselm of Canterbury, another Italian who migrated to the north and who became Archbishop of Canterbury after Lanfranc, born in 1033, died in 1109, probably the most gifted logician since antiquity, certainly one of the most gifted logicians in all of human history.